Turn with me back to the Song of Solomon again. If you have a companion Bible, it starts on page 922. But we picked up this little story here. When we started doing this, we realized that it says that the meaning of what we're doing here with the Song of Solomon says it is a beautiful and an excellent song. And so it was read every time the Jewish people had one of the five festivals that the Lord told them to go to. Each one had a different song that was sung there, and the Song of Solomon here is read annually at the Feast of the Passover, and the Book of Ruth is read at Pentecost, and there are reasons for these things. And also, for those that maybe haven't been with us for the three or four studies that we've already had, and I'll just reread this for a little bit, because this song is really hard to understand if you don't catch the different ones that's doing the speaking. And it said, the numbers of speakers forbids all the interpretations, which depends on there being only two, but there's seven in all here. And they can be easily distinguished by the structures. Now, the first one is the Shulamite. That is the woman that's in the story. And she has several brothers. And so the brothers looked upon her as being really the apple of their eye. And she has met this shepherd boy. And they have fallen in love big time. And Solomon comes to wherever they are and wherever they're staying. And Solomon and his court, literally the traveling court, has come to this place. And Solomon sees this young girl, and she's dark. And she says, I'm black, but she's dark. But Solomon, he's really took with her too, along with the shepherd boy. So, yeah, you know, here within lies the story, because Solomon wants her for a queen. And he has the ladies, he calls the ladies of the daughters of Jerusalem. There are several of the ladies of waiting that goes with him in his, and we may read a little bit about it tonight. He has a traveling van. It's kind of like a camper to some extent. But he has a big tent that he puts up too. And so he's got 60 guys that goes with him with swords that guards him and his doings. They're there all the time, but he's made himself what they call a chariot, but it's actually something bigger than a chariot, and it's pulled around, and all the ladies get to ride with Solomon in this expansive, beautiful carriage that he's made. And he's made it for purposes that we won't mention. So, but he tries to, and he gets this girl to go with him from where she is back to Jerusalem. And in the course of this travel, the shepherd guy that she's in love with, and he follows her there. He follows her where she goes. He goes too. Because they're smitten with each other. I mean, it's just the way it is. But you got the Shulamite lady, and then number two, you got the daughters of Jerusalem, they speak. You got Solomon, he speaks, and then the shepherd lover of the Shulamite, of course, he speaks some. And then you got the brothers of the Shulamite woman, they speak. And then you got the companions of the shepherds, they speak. And you've got several of the inhabitants of Jerusalem who speak. And these eight chapters here. And all of them together tell the story. So I've tried to make it to where I explain who's speaking when I go from verse to verse, because sometimes one of them will just speak one verse and the other, one of the others go back to speaking. So that'll give you a little, chance there. But if you go back one page in the companion Bible, if you got a companion Bible, you will see that Dr. Ginsberg there, in 1857, he wrote a little dissertation there on the whole story. And so it kind of gives you a running idea of what's going on too. But if you just had a Bible and you didn't have all that in it, it would be very hard to keep up with what's happening. But there's a reason for all this. And one of the reasons is that this young lady keeps her promise to her lover and keeps her virtue. And I know, and it doesn't tell you a lot about, it tells you some of what Solomon says, but it really don't get involved in it, but he wants her bad. And he wound up with about 1,000 wives, I think, all total in his lifetime. So, you know, this is just another one of his conquests that he wanted to do, but she held true to what she promised the shepherd boy, and she held true to her God with her virginity and with her character. Now that's the object of the whole story in a nutshell there. Now we've got over to chapter 2 and we've got down to verse 15. And this is, this is study 4. And I named this The Mind of God Concerning David and Solomon, because we started off with David's last prayer that he prayed to God for Solomon for, Psalm 72, if you want to go back and look at that sometime. But here we're down to verse 15. And here we're in the situation here, in this procession, of Solomon's group is going toward Jerusalem. He has broken his tent down. They have packed up and they're on their way to Jerusalem, and the Shulamite girl is with them, and the shepherd boy is tagging along. I don't know who's tending the flock, but we won't worry about that.
That was his problem.
He's not worried about it too much. He's worried about his girlfriend more than he is that, because he's afraid these ladies of Jerusalem are going to talk her into hooking up with Solomon. So this is where we are. Now it says, and I'll make this statement, the Shulamite tells the court ladies of her brother's ploy. Now this is what the brothers, they sent her to work in the vineyards that to try to get her away from the shepherd boy. And then Solomon found her while she was working in the vineyards, and then so they had double trouble there. So here we go. Verse 15. It says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. Well, this is her back now, taking care of the vineyards. That's where the brothers sent her to work, in their vineyards. And it says, catch for us to take us, or catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Okay? That eats the lower tender grapes. It says, for our vines have tender grapes. So, her job was to always be in the vineyards and always be there day and night. She had a, we used to build what we call a brush arbor. We would have, if we wanted to start a new church and there was no building there and a group of people got together, they would put up poles and put brush over the top of it and make a kind of a wooden church, if you will, with a leaf covering in order to see if the people in that group would want to start some sort of a church. And so they did the same thing with the vines in the vineyard. Whenever they pruned the vineyards, they didn't throw anything away. They didn't throw the cakes where they smashed the grapes and got all the juice and all out of it. They threw all the rocks out when they built the vineyards. They would throw every stone away. They would have no stones in the vineyards at all. But they would allow these pieces of the refuse of the grapes to harden, and they would make steps out of them to put them in there. But eventually it would disintegrate and go back into the soil for what we would call fertilizer, for, you know, to put stuff back into the ground. But now her job was to be there and to take care of the grapes, even and to shoo away the wild animals in 15. Now, 16 and 17 tells, the Shulamite lady tells the court ladies how she waited for her love again in the evening, because he would evidently leave his flock with somebody and he would come to see her, or he would get her to come to see him. Okay, so 16 and 17 is the Shulamite lady telling the court ladies how she waited for her love to come again in the evening. And it said, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. So he says, my beloved is, of course, my shepherd. He said, my shepherd is mine, and I am his, as was their promise to each other. Okay? It says, he who feedeth his herd among the lilies or the wild flowers, that is who she loves. And that's what he does for a living. He feeds his flock. And in verse 17 it says, and you'll see this in other places in the scripture. And 17 says, until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And so this is her still talking here, and she's talking to the ladies in Solomon's group. She said, until the day breaks, or when the day cools, talking about late afternoon, early evening, and the shadows flee away, that is after sundown, and she is saying, turn or return, my beloved shepherd, and be like a roe. And a roe is a gazelle or an antelope, and it's pretty common. Or was common in that part of the world. I don't know if it still is. But it says, and be like a roe or an antelope or a young hart. And a young hart there is a male deer. If he's under 5 years old, and they generally call him a stag after they get 5 years old. That's an older male deer. And he's the one that generally rounds up all the young females and gets them for his harem. So, that's the deal. It's set upon the mountains of, Bether. And that's 1336 in the Strong's Bether. And it means separation or a valley in the Jordan district, in the district of Benjamin. And that's what they're talking about here. This is evidently where this shepherd resides and feeds his flocks down through the feeding time over there, or through the summertime. And then you get down to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, tells the court ladies how the watchman of Solomon hindered her search for her shepherd. Now, in the course of them going from where they lived and where Solomon met her and going back to Jerusalem with his group of people, they get separated. Shepherd and the girl, because the girl, I guess, is under the watch of these men who protect Solomon, because he's the king. So verses 1 through 3 deals with that. And it says this: by night, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. So this is in her mind always, and in her dreams by night in the darkness. She is saying, on my bed or couch, if you will. And the bed there is not the same as the bed you find in chapter 1 in verse 6. This is a special place in that camper that he's got, this wagon, that you can use your mind to know what it's used for. But he's got her there for a reason, and she doesn't succumb to that. She has the fortitude, because she loves that shepherd so much, until she doesn't take the advances of Solomon. Even the ladies are trying to get her to get involved. And so, and this is the reason she's telling him that. She's telling him how much she loves him. He says, I sought or searched for him whom thy soul loveth. That's my shepherd. He said, I sought him, or search for him, but I found, or I discovered him not. And so that really perplexed her a little bit, because she couldn't find the guy that had been with her, and she kind of lost a little bit of hope there in that situation. So you see how things is getting in the story here. And she says in verse 2, I will rise now and go about the city. In the streets and in the broadways, I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. So she says, I will rise now, or I will get up and go. In reality, she's going to go about the city. In the streets are the housing area. And in the broadways, of the merchant district of this town that they live in. So, she, should be pretty familiar with that if they haven't gone very far. But we don't know exactly how far this journey has carried them so far. And she says, I will seek him, my beloved, whom my soul or my nephesh loveth. I sought or searched for him, but I found him not. And that's the same as she had in her dreams. And so she's perplexed about this. Still talking to the ladies waiting there of Solomon's. And then she says this in verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? So when she was out looking for him, then Solomon evidently sent his watchmen out to look for her. Okay, that makes sense. This is Solomon's guards that go about the city. She said they found me. And they probably followed her, if you want to know the truth about it. To whom I said, saw ye him, my shepherd, whom my soul loveth? So that's who she was looking for. And then verses 4, 5, and 6. She is still tells the court ladies how she finds her love and not to hinder him. Verse 4 and 5. And 4 says this, it was but a little that I passed from them or from the watchman, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I helped him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chambers of her that conceived me. So evidently, she was still in the city that she lived in, or still in the where she was raised. And I don't know if they had gone to another town and she was in the city where she had was born or not. But see, there's lots that this doesn't tell you. It says, it was but a short time later that when I had passed from them or the watchman, Solomon had 60 men traveling with him. But she said, but I found him. I found my shepherd and would not let him go. I was holding him in my arms until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chambers, the inner bedroom of her that conceived me, to where I was begotten. She had carried him in to the very room that she was born in, or that she was had become a child. And I think she thought that was a wonderful place to bring him to, that she had him there now to where he was in the same place where she started. Okay. And that's and in verse 5. And then she says this, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. And so she asked him not to go into the house and wake him up till he woke up on his own. It says, I charge you, I beg or ask, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes of the antelopes and gazelles, and by the male deer of the field, that you stir not up or awaken my love, the shepherd, till he please. Allow him to rise by himself. And that was her wish to the ladies that wherever they were camped out or wherever they were staying this particular time. And so in chapter 3, you start in verse 6, and it goes to chapter 5 and verse 1, that the lady, the Shulamite woman, and the shepherd guy are together again, and they press on toward Jerusalem. And it says in the note, the beloved shepherd who had followed the court comes to Jerusalem to rescue the Shulamite. He obtains an interview and again expressed his delight in her. Contrast his modesty with Solomon's coarse flatteries. In chapter 6, verses 4 through 10, and chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. And when we get there, you will see the difference between what the shepherd says about his love and Solomon's remarks, because, and it seems like both of them are kind of far out in space somewhere, but what the shepherd says about the girl is much more lovable than what Solomon says. So Solomon can't really compare his speech, although he's supposed to be the wisest man living, he can't compare his speech with the shepherd's speech, because the shepherd's doing it out of pure love, yeah. And Solomon's doing it out of lust. So that's the difference in the two. Okay, having said that, and you know, you can't really understand it really well unless you've read it all the way through, so I'm kind of giving you a kind of a go back on it, if you will. So, from 3:6 to 5:1, they're going toward Jerusalem. So let's go back to and think about those that I read about, those who are speaking. And here, it is the inhabitants of Jerusalem speaking to each other. And there's going to be four different ones or a group that make up four times that this happens. Okay. So, in verse 6 it says, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchants? And so this is one of the inhabitants of Jerusalem speaking, and he's speaking to the others that are with him. And he says, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? That's a question of a Jerusalemite seeing the entourage coming in from the countryside. And he says, like pillars of smoke. What's he saying? Probably they were coming in and there was enough of them that they was probably making a dust cloud in those streets, because those streets were dirt. They weren't.
Yeah, they were normally dry.
You know. And then, yeah. And he says, like pillars of smoke. So if he saw the dust coming up, he said, man, who's coming? They putting up a cloud. Putting up a cloud. Yeah. And he says, pillars of smoke, perfumed. So evidently there must have been a wind blowing too, because he could smell the scent of them that came before they came. And I made a note and said, this one undoubtedly is downwind because it's with myrrh. And myrrh there is 7453 in the Strong's, and it's spelled M-O-R, but it's pronounced M-O-R-E, like our more. And myrrh is distilled liquid, and this distilled liquid is drops. And the drops are bitter to the taste. If you get them in your mouth, or if you get them in your eyes, you've got a problem. But it's sweet to the smell, bitter to the taste, sweet to the smell. Now, you know, this is what they brought Christ to.
Coffee's a little like that.
Yeah.
Smells way better than taste.
Yeah. Okay. And frankincense. Frankincense is 38:28. And the Strong's, and it is, Lebawal. And I probably mispronounced that in Hebrew. And it is a white powder. And if burned, it puts off a white smoke. So, you know, frankincense, they generally put it in the pot. And you've seen the people that...
Catholics.
The Catholics that burned the frankincense and the smoke's coming out of the pot and the smoke's white smoke. Well, it's a white powder that's burning and it puts off this odor stuff. And I don't know if they was going up the road burning it as they went or what. I have no idea. But I just know this, that he says in verse 6 that perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, and with all powders of the merchants. So, I don't know what all the other powders were. I don't have a clue with that, but evidently, if you were downwind, the Solomon's group coming, you know they were coming because you could smell them before they got there. And, you know, as a king, he would spare no He would spare no amount of money to do what he wanted to do. Verse 7. It says, behold his bed, which is Solomon's, 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. So in chapter 3 and verse 7 says, behold, or lo, see, or look. And this is spoken by another, one of them. It wasn't the guy that seen them coming. This was evidently another one standing there. And so they evidently had his bed where it could be seen, that when he was in his tent. And they didn't take, probably couldn't take the bed all the way down. And so it was on something else, but they could see it as they brought it by. And this is spoken by another. It is the litter or the traveling sedan used by Solomon, which is Solomon's. 60 valiant men, armed men of war, are about it, surrounding it, the valiant of Israel, the elite forces, the Gibbon, the Gibbor of Israel. They were like the Navy SEALs, or they were the best of the best. And that's who he carried around with. That's who he took with him. And so all these people had to be fed and, you know, took care of and all this. Then we get down to verse 8 and it says, King Solomon made himself no, we didn't read verse 8. Talking about the Gabor, the men of Israel. They all had swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. So in 8, he says they all hold or have swords, being experts in war. Everyone, or each man, hath his sword upon his thigh, or at his side, because of fear in the night, to essentially guard Solomon while he slept. That was their job, to take care of Solomon as he laid down to go to sleep. And then we get the third inhabitant speaking here. And this is verses 9 and 10. And this is where we kind of get a picture of what they were traveling in. And it says, this is the third inhabitant speaking. It says, King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Now, this, I didn't look. I meant to look this word up. The chariot there is 668. It said, King Solomon made himself a chariot. Strong 668, and it's called a plantaquin. A plantaquin. And it's a kind of a, his own wheels, and it was a kind of a rolling, what we would call a kind of a big camper-like thing now that the horses pulled. And these ladies of Jerusalem got to ride with King Solomon. I guess the men had to walk and carry the bed and all this other stuff, and the tent and all this stuff that he had with him. But the ladies got to ride in this thing, and it kind of tells you a little bit about it. So it's a palanquin, and I want to think of something much bigger than a stagecoach to a certain extent. It said it was made of the wood of Lebanon, probably the cedar, because the wood in Lebanon was normally made out of the cedars. That was the wonderful wood that they grew. That was the wood where all of the timber come from that was in the temple of God. And it was plated with gold, you know. They covered up the cedar, but it still had, probably still had the smell or the odor to it with that. But, you know, a chariot, chariots, and we think about chariots, was usually a war vehicle that a guy rode in and had the lance or the all of the things of war, and it was made for war. But this chariot was made for love. It wasn't made for war. And it said this is a conveyance for his and the women who traveled with him. So he had produced this conveyance that he used for his own purposes. Verse 10. And he made the pillars thereof of silver. So evidently it had some sort of a roof on it. And so the pillars were made of silver, but the bottom where his feet was, where probably other people couldn't see it, made out of gold. It was covered with gold. Because
you probably wasn't a lightweight chicken.
No, that's it. Okay. You got that right. Verse 10. He made the pillars or the corners out of silver. The bottom of the corners thereof was gold. This was out of sight in the body of the vehicle. The covering of it, or the seats, was of purple. And that, the purple is royalty color, the royal color. Fine linen. And it says, the midst thereof being paved with love. And love there is different from the love that we've been reading about the young lady that had for her shepherd. And that's for number 460 in the Strong's. And that is a habal. And it means to have affection for. And you can have affection for a friend, but there's a little deeper meaning here than just a friend. He said, for the daughters of Jerusalem, they were with him for a reason. They were with Solomon for a reason. Because he didn't know when he went there that he was going to see somebody that he really wanted to get into that group. But he was trying to get them, not only him, but he was trying to get them to talk her into coming over to his side of the situation. And then verse 11, and we'll go down to chapter 4, and we'll stop at the end of 3. But we got one more verse there in verse 11. It says, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. So you've got the fourth inhabitant speaking here in verse 11 only. And it says, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion. And the question is, does this speaker speak about seeing envy or seeing jealousy? And he says, and behold, or see, King Solomon with his crown, wherewith his mother crowned him. I thought David crowned him. But evidently, David was dead before Solomon got the crown. But you see, David's wife would have been the queen at that point. And she could crown her son, Solomon, king. You ever thought about that?
No, that's just what I was pondering, because that's the first time I ever been through Song of Solomon. I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm ashamed to say that, but
that it kind of blew off of the page at me.
Yeah.
In that sense, it says, behold, King Solomon with a crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals. And espousals there is marriages. So he got his crown, he got his kingdom, and he got the women that was in his group. He married all of them the same day. Up to that point, okay, you know. And we're talking here about Solomon just getting involved into his kingdom dealings there. But it seemed to be one ceremony for many participants. And it said, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Well, he looked forward to having all these ladies that he calls his wives. And he looked forward to getting his authority all at the same time. So I guess it was the day of gladness of his heart. What else? What else?
You're born the king. How can it be anything else?
Well, what else could a man want, wish for? Just to be made king and have a bunch of wives and have all the things and have the wisdom of God and have all this together. But he was never satisfied though. He still wanted. The man, Solomon, wanted.
Had a greed issue.
He was greedy. He kept wanting. And this is the reason the story is read. It tells you about his earthly wishes rather than what the Lord wanted him to do. And so they scriptures that follows all this. And at the end of this, we're going to read two different bunches of scripture. We're going to read scripture that deals with them in that time. And then we're going to read the scriptures that deals with us in this dispensation. And they are scriptures for both. Even though this was read at what we would call Easter, which we know that's a pagan word, but at Easter time, this story was told when they got together. And then the next one was the book of Ruth was read at Pentecost 50 days later. And then on over in gathering time, the crop gathering time, then other things were read at that time. And that's the way all this went. And you know, quite often we don't get the gist of what the Jews were required to do. But the more we look into it, the more we see what their life entailed. Yeah, to deal with this and to do this. So we'll stop at the end of chapter 3 and I've got my notes already on chapter 4, so I'm a little ahead of you guys with that. But nevertheless, so you get these people here that looks and see these guys coming, and each one has a different view of Solomon and what they see. One of them sees Solomon, smells him coming, seeing the dust boiling up and all this, and the other one sees other things. They see his group of men that's with him. They're impressed by that. And then another one sees this conveyance of this thing that he's made to haul his women around on and all this and how sumptuous it is and all this stuff. So you get the different views from the different people. And that makes the story too. So that gives you a kind of a bird's eye view of what it is, plus the fact that we found out that Solomon got his crown from his mother. He didn't get his crown from his daddy. But it was meant to be that way because this is God working it out. So thank you for being with us again tonight. And sometimes a lot of it makes sense. And some of it is a little hard to figure out if you've never really went back to the first part of the Bible and read the story as the good doctor read it back in the 1800s, but still.
One of those that's probably got to be studied out there.
Yeah, but you know, just if you just pick up a regular Bible and open it up and read the Song of Solomon, and you don't look, and you don't get in there, and you don't pull and chase these things out, how in the world will you ever realize and understand what it means? So, and I think it takes the Holy Spirit guiding in order for us to see these things. And I appreciate the Lord giving me the opportunity to do that. But again, don't take my word for it. Read it yourself and look and see. But you get these little tidbits that you would never know.
Yeah.
So thank you for your time, and thank you for your love and prayers and thoughts. And about, I guess, 4 or 5 more studies, and we'll be through this book. But I've looked at it all my life. I've kind of thumbed through it, never really read it or never really studied it. But and then we're going to go back and look.
Always probable.
And we're going to go back and look at Proverbs. Get a little bit of that too. So. Thank you so much. God bless you.